And the Bible says this in Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says, commit your way to the Lord and your plans will be established. That's really what it means to follow Christ. Commit your plans, the things you want to do, commit them to Him, and by faith carry that out. Trust God, and no matter what obstacles, no matter the ups and downs you experience in life, continue to put God first. And that's something John has done. And so, John, why don't you take a minute, introduce yourself to everyone, tell us something about you.
Great. Good morning, everyone. So I'm John Clinton, and my wife is also here, Marjorie Clinton. So she's back there with John. And so Margie and I have been married for over 32 years now. We have four kids. John's the oldest at 28. And then we have Lydia, who's 24. She's a dancer in San Francisco. We have Camille, who's 22. And we're actually sponsoring Camille. She is a missionary in the Middle East, predominantly Muslim country. So thank you, Calvary Assembly, for stepping up and supporting my baby girl. And then we have the caboose, that's Joseph, who is 20, and he's a sophomore at University of Nevada, Reno. So that's a little bit about us, and we just live down the street. So we're at 50 Piedmont Road. So right here at the end on the right, last house, that's our home.
John is anchoring down Piedmont Road for us. And so we really appreciate that. So he has no excuse not to be on time to church. You are all now our witness, right? Okay. So if he ever comes in late to church, give him the hardest time possible.
You may want to give us a hard time if we're driving, too, instead of walking.
Well, you know what? I don't think there's anything else to share. We better get him off the stage. This guy's carbon footprint is horrible. All right. Well, real quick, let's jump right into it. Tell us about life prior to 2009. 2009 is kind of a pivotal year for you and your family in a rough way, but tell us what was going on real quickly before that time.
Well, even before 2009, we had some challenges. And so John was born in 1990. 1992, we found out that John was going to be special needs. So we knew there was going to be an issue with him. And I tell you, that was one of the first really, really big challenges for Margie and I going forward, because we didn't know what his life was going to be like as he became an adult. So one of the blessings out of John going becoming diagnosed with special needs is that we had this very special bus driver who was picking him up at 3 years old, would pick him up, put him in a seat, make sure he's all secure. And she was just the nicest woman. And that was Brenda Barra. One of the reasons we're here. So that was kind of one of the first challenges. And then, and so for any parent who has a special needs child or will have a special needs child, understand God has done that for a reason. I look back now over 28 years and I see God's hand, and I wouldn't be who I am. My character wouldn't be what it is had we not had John. And then Then challenge number two prior to 2009 is that my wife was diagnosed in 2001 with depression. And with depression, we sometimes think we can kind of get through it without help. Get help, okay? Because it's physical, as well as mental, as well as emotional, as well as spiritual. And we got some really, really good help in helping get through that season of depression. And it had a big impact on us. I had to get my sister out here to help. But again, if you have someone in your family that's dealing with depression, there's help out there for them, and there's hope. And my wife is proof of that right here, right now, okay? So that was another major milestone. And the third thing I want to talk about briefly is that we were in a situation where we moved to Milpitas 30 years ago. So we lived in a small home close to the high school. And when Joseph came, we now had six people and we were in about 1,200 square feet, which is doable, but we were also homeschooling and it was like, oh my goodness. And so we ended up being able to purchase a home the house that we're in now about 17 years ago, and it was really amazing. The house we were supposed to buy is the house over here, or we thought we were going to buy that house, and literally the night before, that house was sold to someone else. And what we found out over time, we had specifically prayed for the house that we're in right now, the floor plan. But we were looking at the lot size of this house as opposed to what is it that we had prayed for. What we had prayed for was the floor plan of that house. And it was over time that I realized what God was doing and putting us in that home. Before we moved in that house, well, long story, but during the time we moved in that house, I was actually overseas when we had to move in, so Margie had to get us moved in. But when I got back, one of the first things we did, and if you haven't done this with your home, do it. We dedicated that house to the Lord. The way you dedicate your children to the Lord, dedicate your home, dedicate what you have, dedicate it unto the Lord, that this would be a place of peace. It would be a place of rest. And I tell you, God is so faithful when you give it back to him and say, it's not mine, it's yours. Do with it what you will. So.
And so prior to 2009, you were working. You had a pretty good job.
Yeah. No, so what I had done, that's another bit of a long story, but I'll keep it brief. So what had happened, I was in a situation where my manager, I was a sales manager, district sales manager, and my boss, who was also a friend of mine, was really becoming a bit of an issue. And by the way, this is when you know God is talking to you. So I went to the Lord about this issue, and I said, Lord, this guy is driving me crazy, and I really need some help here. And so when I prayed to God about that, I'm expecting him to, you know, come in with some real revelation. Well, the revelation was, submit yourself to this man. He says, jump. You say, how high? And you do it with a great attitude. And I said, you know, God, I don't trust this guy. And what does God say? I didn't say trust him. Trust me. So I put my trust in the Lord. And literally 3 months later, I got a promotion to become an operations manager for Hewlett-Packard, like a $30,000 pay increase. And but I had worldwide responsibility, so I was starting to travel a lot more, do some other things. But God put me in a really significant place. And then right before 2009, I was looking at trying to get back into a sales position. And in 2009, my company decided to take like a third of our sales force and cut it. And so right at 2009, instead of being able to move into a sales position, I get laid off. It's like, oh God. So
you have this brand new home, you've got four kids,
yeah.
You've got all these things, and you lose your job.
Right.
So how did you navigate that? I mean, because that's going to crush a lot of people, right? I mean, you've got all this weight, all this responsibility, and then you lose your job. So how did you process that?
Yeah, so when I lost my job in 2009, I mean, I was given a severance package, and I was actually offered another job by another company. And the Lord said not to take that job. And I'm thinking, okay. So I was looking at doing something else that was really on my heart. And that was around helping people get into their own business, coaching people, et cetera. And so 2010, I launched my own business. And so now I'm a business owner. I'm running my own business. But it's not quite bringing me the income that I need. So now we're starting to burn through retirement. I got kids getting ready to go to college. Obamacare hits, and all of a sudden, my health care goes up to $2,500 a month. So I'm paying $30,000 a year just in health care with high deductible. And so we got caught in that. And so, you know, I look at that season, and I just go, okay, God. I mean, we were looking at, should we file bankruptcy? I mean, my financial plan was saying, hey, just go ahead and file bankruptcy so you can keep your house, keep your retirement. We decided not to do that. And at that time, just when it looks like things were closing in, you know, if you'd been driving down Piedmont, you'd have seen me out there rededicating my house to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is your house. You figure this out because it's beyond me. I put it back in your hands, never took it away, but this is your place. And what are you going to do about the situation that we're in? So I rededicated the house onto the Lord. And anyway, I'll let you get to the next question. Did I answer that or did you?
No, you did.
And okay.
So how did you emotionally handle the challenges? Because you're now your own businessman.
Okay.
You are trying to navigate all these new experiences that you didn't have to do as an employee.
Right. So let me ask a question. We got any men in the house? Are there any men in the house? I'm just asking. Are there any men in the house? Oh, okay. I'm just checking. Okay. All right. Solomon's got both hands up. Double the man. So, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Men, and I'm talking to the men now. Here's the thing. We tend to try to take everything on by ourselves. That's a huge mistake. That's how the enemy beats us, because we try to take him on one-on-one. I had two other brothers that, and I've always believed in small groups. So men, if you don't have a brother, it doesn't have to be your brother, but a brother, someone who can walk along with you through these challenges, get one, get two. So I had two other brothers, it's Bing and Don. We meet every Monday morning, 6 a.m., and we're praying for each other. And what we did in these small group meetings is that I talked about what was happening with me, Don talked about what was happening with him, Bing talked about what was happening with him. I pray for Don and Bing. Bing and Don pray for me. You see how it works? Because we're in a battle. If I'm looking down the middle, I need another guy looking left, I need another guy looking right, because I can only see so much, and somebody's got to be watching our back. And so one of the keys was not only my walk with the Lord, but not going through this alone as a man, but having other godly men that stood with me shoulder to shoulder. This is that Proverbs about iron, sharpening iron. So anyway, that was for free.
We like free, right? So. Now, I've spoken with a lot of people, you know, who are going through difficult seasons in their life, and sometimes when they go through trials like this, they tend to pull back from God.
Right.
Like, I got to fix this, so I got to put more time over here. So they'll withdraw from God, they'll withdraw from maybe their commitments. And you and Marjorie made some commitments when you bought this house, that it was the Lord to dedicate to Him. And you were doing some things at that time that might seem almost foolish to take on guests or take on
right.
responsibilities during a season when you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So how did you continue to do those things, commit to the Lord?
Yeah, and so we continually had people that either needed a place to stay. So my buddy Bing had gone through a very, very messy divorce, and he was going to need a place to stay. And so he stayed with us for a year. So for a year, we had him in as a guest. We've had, you know, from our church, we had, you know, single moms stay with us. You know, one woman, this was a while back, but she and her daughter needed a place to stay, and so they stayed with us. And so we, you know, people who know us well, there's always people at our house. There's somebody at our house right now. You know, we have a young man staying with us, given his situation. He's in our home until June. He's a student at Ohlone College. You know, one of the things, and my kids know this, my wife knows this, you know, if you're going to put anything on my tombstone, it's James 1:2-4. And it simply says this: you count it with all joy as you face various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith does what? Produces patience, persistence, so that you can be what? Perfect and complete, not lacking anything. And so the joy that it talks about is the joy as you're going through the trial that you're going to have on the other side of that trial, having that joy now and standing on God's promises. You know, I believe that God's word, you know, it says it never returns void, that as you speak that word out, it is spoken out with the Holy Spirit around it. That's why you can say something to someone and it's from God's word. You can say it to five different people and they heard five different things and you said the same thing. It's because of the Spirit of the Lord and the power of His word. And we stood on that. We stood on that and said, God, have your way. Have your way. And, you know, now on the other side of all that, you know, I'm in a job now that pays more than the job I had before. We just found out that Margie, because she's taking care of John full time, she was getting a little stipend from the state, and that stipend increased by like 5x. You know, my health care went from $30,000 a year. My current employer pays for it. So I pay zero, right? So you look at that. Thank you. So you look at that and you say, wow, look what God did. Look what God did. And I am now, I mean, today, probably the biggest change in me is that I don't take anything for granted. I was telling Mike as I walked in, I'm taking pictures of the church and the horses behind the church. You know, because what a beautiful sight. We walk to this church every Sunday.
Or drive, apparently.
Huh?
Or drive, apparently.
Yeah, drive. Yeah, and And we've got this beauty all around us, you know? I mean, I grew up in Detroit. That's the one thing, by the way, on that first question. If people don't know me, you know, they don't know I grew up in Detroit. But I'm from Detroit, Motown. I'll be that in my heart forever. But, you know, looking at this beauty around us. And so I am thankful for everything. You know, that is the attitude of gratitude. Man, just giving God thanks for everything he does. For not only what he gives you, but what you don't get that you should get. I'm thankful. All right? So anyway, that's been my attitude, you know, just moving forward, is that I am thankful every day.
So what's one, like, kind of nugget, one thing you could leave us with that, obviously, this wasn't, you didn't face these trials and then have to figure out what to do. There were structures in place, there were disciplines in place that allowed you to deal with these trials and come victoriously.
Yeah.
So what's one thing you could tell us, the people here, to encourage them, like, start doing now, because when the trial comes, it's going to be too late to try to firm up the structure.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Know God's word. For me, I've been in Bible study fellowship off and on since 1992. It's a great way to learn God's word. See, the word of God is your sword, right? It's the word of God. So you can use it to defend, but you can also use it to attack, right? When the going gets tough, what are you telling? What are you telling this computer up here? What are you telling your mind? You better be telling it God's word. There is nothing else. You want to know what God's promises are? Because what do we know about God's promises? They're what? Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Every time. Every time. Not some of the time. Every time. All the time. And so to know who you are and what God has in store for you, you must know God's word. Not what you think, but what God says. Because that's the truth. Today, yesterday, and tomorrow, the Lord promises what? I'll be the same. We change. He don't. Standards don't change. So the one thing, know God's word. You know, I remember Pastor Mike said something, and it was something I was already doing. He says, just give God 15 minutes a day. You know, or something like that. Because I read the verse of the day. I have reading plans I do, plus my Bible study. Because for the rest of my life, because when people challenge me or I'm challenged by something, man, it's not what I think. What does God's word say about this situation? That's the answer. And that's what I'm going to stand on. So that's the one thing.
I think that'll preach right there. Listen, before we end our time with you, would you pray? Because I think there might be some people here that are going through this season. Maybe they lost a job. Maybe their notice is going out at work. Maybe there are some here that just need to firm up structures in their life in order to see the blessing and promises of God.
Amen.
So would you pray for them?
Lord, I thank you that, first of all, your word is true. And Lord, I pray for every person that hears this message, Lord. May they be encouraged by you. You are the lifter of our head. No matter what the situation is, God, you are in control. You're in control. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It's all about you, and it's never about us. And so whatever it is that anyone is going through, we go to war on our knees, praying before the Lord, believing that God's will is going to be done no matter what the situation is, no matter what the challenge is. God, your word is true, and it never returns void, but it accomplishes every single detail that is to accomplish in every single person's life. So, Lord, I thank you today. We give you all the praise and glory, Father, that you are so due. And we thank you for everything you've done for us, because you've given us everything we need through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, give him a hand.
You're welcome. Oh, you got that?
All right, was that good?
Yeah.
Man, and I had to go to a whole lunch and then some to get the full stories. If you want the unabridged version of his testimony, take him out to lunch and he'll share with you. This guy is a wealth of experience and knowledge of what God has used him and how he's gone through him. Well, the next person is no stranger to you, especially if you have children. So would you welcome Pastor Sylvia this morning? So I'll confess this morning, there was a time several years ago, and Dahlia can confirm this, when we were not here in Calvary and Milpitas, we were in Sutter Creek, and I told Dahlia, I says, boy, wouldn't it be awesome someday to be able to do ministry with Pastor Sylvia, and I even said the Musicas. It's like, wouldn't that be so cool to do ministry with them? Like, what could we not accomplish if we were all working together? And so now we got some of the Musicas here with us with worship. And you go ahead and clap, because that is, God is my witness, that came out of my mouth. And now I have the honor to be able to work with Pastor Sylvia here. Not only is she just a fantastic children's pastor, and she just pours her heart, soul, and love into the kids, she's just an amazing pastor. She's an amazing woman of God. And so it is such a privilege to be able to work alongside her. Now, this is a woman of many traits, many talent. But God, over the last year, has done some pretty incredible things in her life. Opened up doors that she probably wouldn't have walked through a couple of years prior to that. And so before we go in deeper into that, would you, before this time a year ago in your life, would you consider yourself like an entrepreneur?
No, never.
No.
Never.
Like time-wise, and you just didn't think, no, I wouldn't have anything
to
do with that.
No.
Okay, so about a year ago, you had come to me and says, hey, for VBS next year, I want to start raising money now for it. And there's this thing I've come into contact with called Paparazzi. Anybody heard of Paparazzi? Tell us a little bit about that. How that come about?
Actually, it came about because somebody at the church on Facebook invited me to watch somebody's live. And so I watched this lady selling, and I was like, oh, well, of course I'm going to watch because I love jewelry. So I was watching, and then I ordered. And then the following week, I watched again. And by the third week, I think it was like the second time I watched, I was like, maybe I want to do this, you know. So I brought it up to my family, and, you know, my sister's like, no, you know, you don't want to do, you don't have the time, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, but it was just like a nagging thing. It just wouldn't let me go. And so I was like, okay, maybe. So then I talked to Gary about it, and I said, what about this? He's like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, you know, I was thinking, what if I do this to raise funds for kids' ministries? Like, what if I did that for that? And he's like, yeah, well, that would be good, you know? So that's how I got into it.
So you got into selling jewelry, not to try to get rich quick. You got into, your heart was, God, I want to give back to you, and so I'm going to start this, and the money that we receive from it, the income, we're going to put into the ministry.
Right.
So you're like, God, this is for you. Yeah. So we're doing right on. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Whatever you want to put money into the ministry, I am so for that. That is God's will, I can tell you right now. Yeah. Okay, so weekly, but this is more than like selling jewelry. And I'm telling you, if you've got a Facebook account, on Thursday nights, jump on the Facebook Live show with Pastor Sylvia. It's entertaining. Like, you will be so blessed. You don't have to buy anything. But it is a joy. It is fun to watch. Dahlia and I will just sit there. Sometimes we're laying in bed watching on our iPhones your broadcast. It is the best. But anyways, what's so cool is it's not just about selling jewelry. There's, like, more going on in your lives. And I've witnessed it. But tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, first, let me just say that every Thursday, my family has, it's really served as a thing of bringing my family together. You know, like every other family, we go through things. But, and after my dad's death, like, there is just a lot of stuff going on. And so it's really helped to heal, bring healing, because it's brought closeness. And so every Thursday night, my family is there, my sister, my brother-in-law, and my mom. And they're a part of it. They're a part of the work team and the ladies.
Free labor.
Yeah, free labor. Free labor. And so they're there, and they're helping as I'm taking orders. They're putting this stuff in the boxes and all the little stuff that they have to do. So that's just, you know, really been a blessing that God has done that. But so every Thursday night, before we start the live, we spend time praying. Because it's a tool that God has given me, and I know that. My heart was, when I started this, was I wanted to be able to, because in all my years of children's ministries, My heart, I always wanted to offer a VBS to the families and the community for free. It's just what I wanted to do. But I wasn't able to do that because it puts a strain on the church budget, you know, on the children's ministries budget. We never had that to do that. And so when I, you know, one of the things I said to Pastor Mike, if I do this, would it be okay if I, you know, use all the money that I do? You know, everything will go into a fund. but I want to be able to offer it to the families of the community. I want them to be able to come because a lot of kids, they don't have Disneyland during the summer. They don't have, you know, the parents don't have that option. I want to be able to bring them in, and, you know, we're not Disneyland, but you know, I want to be able to buy prizes. You know, if you're a kids pastor, you love prizes. So I want to be able to give prizes. I want to be able to order t-shirts for the kids. I want to just give the families dinner. That was my vision was, I wanted to bring them in and give them dinner and not have the moms like get home from work and say, oh wow, we get to go to Calvary. I don't have to make dinner. Let me go and, you know, let's take them there, you know. And so that just was what I wanted to do. But God has really used it to, on Thursday nights, we get together before the live, we pray, we dedicate it to God. We already know the ladies now. It's been a year, so some of them have been with us for a year. We pray over them. We pray over their families, situations. And how it started out was when I would be doing the live, I would just say, you know, I said, I'm a children's pastor. You know, I'm doing this, blah, 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 you know, for this reason, what I just shared with you. And some of the ladies would be like, wow, you know. And then I would say during the live, I would say, you know, if you ladies have any prayer needs, just message them to me. You know, my family and I would love to pray for you. And so, yeah, you know, every now and then I would get a prayer need. Somebody would message me. But then what started happening is during the lives, ladies would start coming in, and it's still happening where they'll come in and they'll say, hey, you know, I've had a couple would say, hey, Pastor Sylvia, I'm going through this sickness right now. I'm going through this. My family is going through this. Would you ladies stop and pray for me? So we'll stop right on the live, and we'll just agree together. We'll just, you know, have a wonderful time. Powerful times of prayer together where we're just praying for each other's needs.
And so you're getting these prayer requests. You're praying not only after and before, but sometimes even during the live. Yes. And I love it when you go on. She's got worship music playing in the background. Now, you've also, and I don't know, I don't understand the levels exactly, but you've like shot up like in paparazzi or something like that now.
I'm silver. And it's all God, really. It's all God because first of all, when I first started, I got a couple of requests for people that said, "Hey, I want to join your team." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'm not in this to build a team. I don't have time to build a team. Like, I'm in it to raise funds for the kids." And so, I actually called my director, the one that sponsored me, and I called her and I said, "Listen, I have a lady that wants to join. I don't want anybody under me. So I'm going to tell her to call you when you take her." And she's like, "No." No, and she's like, "Don't be afraid." I'm like, "I'm not afraid to lead. I'm a leader." You know, that's not it. I told her, "I just don't have the time. I don't want to do it." You know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, "No, Sylvia, you have to do it. She wants to go in under you." So I was like, "Okay, I'll take the first one." So I took the first one. You know, then, you know, a couple months later, somebody else messages me and I want to join your team. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go again. So then I talked to Pastor Mike, you know, and I said, you know, people want to join. I just, you know, I forget our conversation, but it kind of went like, I don't really want to be a leader of this, you know. And Pastor Mike said, "Have you ever stopped to think that maybe God put this in your hand for another reason? Like, not just about fundraising, like, this would be an opportunity for you to really, like, take these people under your wing." So I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay, God, well, what if this is what you want to do? Well, in a year, my downline is now 14 people. And, you know, that means me, I've got seven sponsored personally, and then those seven have also sponsored people. So we have a team right now of 14 people, and which is amazing to me because I never really pursued people. I don't, you know, if they ask me, I'll tell them, but I don't make a big deal about that because I just leave it in God's hands. So
I remember because you were like, "I just want to do one VBS and be done."
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you need to do this beyond that. I'm like, you know, we're kind of insulated in the office at church because everyone that comes to us is usually a Christian.
Right.
Like most of you in here are Christians, right? And so our interactions are always with saved people, and very rarely do we get opportunities to talk with on a regular basis unsaved people. And so I'm like, no, you need to do this because God is bringing these people to you for a purpose and a reason. So just ride it out as long as you can. And so I remember that conversation. Before I forget, because I know I will, like you sent me a text this week, like you got some accolade from...
I actually, every year you have to earn the bronze, the silver. And last year, like I said, I got silver. So that gave you like a lot of benefits. They give you jewelry that nobody else gets during the month. So I'm able to offer that to the clients. But so this week, I don't look at the numbers. I didn't look at them. And I didn't even know, but I got a text from the founders of the company saying, "Congratulations, you've just made bronze." So I'm already, you know, doing that. And like you said, I made director last year without even, I didn't I didn't try. It just was God. And that's what I kept saying. It's all God because I'm not doing anything.
Should we call you Director Sylvia?
No. Okay. Pastor Sylvia. Stick to Pastor.
Okay, so fast forward this summer, you decided to go to the paparazzi convention. You were to go as a team, so like your director and then the other people on your team,
right.
And yourself. And so typically the teams all hang out together. They meet because you guys all live around, live close to each other, right?
Right.
So kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, let me just first say that, like you were saying, you know, we're kind of insulated here in the church. It had been years since I've worked in the secular, world. And so I think for me that was kind of, again, going back into the secular atmosphere and stuff. So, but I am who I am, and that doesn't change, wherever I am, he's my everything. And so if you have a problem, if you have a need, you come telling me or whatever, or you just say it, I'm going to say, hey, I'm praying for you, I'll pray for you, whatever. So, I was thinking about the scripture that talks about we are the salt of the earth, and so many times we talk about that in the sense of, yes, it brings flavor. Yes, we're flavor. But, when you think about salt, and when you think about a wound, you pour salt on a wound and it burns, So sometimes our saltiness is going to cause uncomfortableness to the person that's wounded. And I think that's what happens many times. And for me, I feel like that's kind of what has happened. I'm pretty personal. I'll talk to anybody or whatever. But a few of the ladies on the team just kind of made it known, your presence is not really what we want. you're making us uncomfortable. It's a different lifestyle. We go out to eat and I pray. That makes some people uncomfortable, So anyway, at convention, like Pastor Mike said, we were all supposed to hang out together. We had an awards dinner we were going to, and we had made plans that we were in the same hotel. They were actually across the hall from us. And so I had texted and said, what time are we leaving? They said, we're leaving at this time. I said, okay. And they said, we'll call you. We'll text you. I said, okay. So I waited and waited. And really what happened was I got ditched, pretty much. I got ditched, and so...
Come on, teenagers, you know what this feels like. You're not even...
Oh. I got ditched, and it was funny because my husband had gone with me to convention, and he was like, he was like the knight in shining armor. He was like, I don't know why they did that to you. He was all upset.
Beat those girls
and
up.
He's like, you know what? He's like, you know what? I'm going to take you. Forget about them, blah, 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 But on the way there, he was really concerned. He's like, what are you going to do? Who are you going to sit with? I'm like, hon, I'm a big girl. I'll be fine. I'll sit next to anybody, a stranger, and talk to them. I'm going to be good. It's okay if they don't, obviously they don't want me around. That's okay. That's their prerogative, but I'm still going to have a good time. So we go, and I'm looking at my phone. We're driving, and it's really hot in Las Vegas. And right before we left the room, I grabbed a pair of sandals. And he says, are you uncomfortable? I said, no. I'm just going to take them just in case. You never know. So we're in the car, and he says, hey, do you want to give that lady right there on the corner a ride? He goes, she's wearing a badge like yours. She must be going to your convention. And so I looked over, and I said, okay. So I rolled down the window, which was weird, too, because I normally would have said, no, she's a stranger, whatever.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger, yeah. But I was like, okay. So I rolled down the window. I said, excuse me, would you like a ride? Are you going to the paparazzi conference? And she's like, oh, yeah. So she gets in the car, and she says, thank you guys so much. I'm like, yeah, no problem. So then Gary says to her, what happened? You have something in your hand. And she says, oh, my shoe just broke, and my sandal just broke, and I'm not able to fix it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's wrong. And so I told her, I said, So then I said, what size do you wear? She says, I wear an 8.5. Well, that's my size. So I was like, well, you know what? I have an extra pair of sandals in my backpack. If you want them, you can have them. She goes, are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh, you're so nice. So she takes them. They fit her perfectly. We get to the conference center. And so, we're like, she's like, you want to sit together? I'm like, yeah. So come, find out. She's a believer. And just loves the Lord with all her heart. We had the greatest time. We spent the night just talking about God's goodness and how he was building the business. And she was asking me questions. I was asking her questions. She was from Florida. She drove 36 hours to get there. This is the incredible part, too. She drove 36 hours to get there with her mom and her 5 boys in the car. And she had come with all the illusions that she was going to hang out with her team. And she had gotten ditched. So it was really funny because how God brought us both together. And even like day before yesterday, she was texting me. She texts me two or three times a week. We're talking about, you know, either her church or my church or the business or whatever. But God gave me that friend out of that situation where I had, you know, gotten ditched. So just how he turned it around for right immediately, like for my good.
Yeah. Well, and what I think is so amazing, because I don't know about you, but I'm still growing. And so what happens is when I get ditched or I get emotionally scarred, I am great at throwing a pity party. Like, I have some of the most amazing pity parties you've ever seen. Like, if you're not sure what a pity party looks like, join me on mine. Because I'm telling you, there's balloons, there's confetti.
Pity party live.
There's a huge cake with just one candle for me. Because I'm the most important person in that moment. And what happens is I get so trapped into how I feel that I just neglect everything else around me. The fact that you didn't allow this incident, I mean, as a grown adult, to discourage you to the point to where you just overlooked this lady who also got ditched, how God used that. I mean, that's just amazing.
It's amazing.
So we got to take our eyes off our circumstances, people. Like, join me in no longer throwing pity parties. And realize that God will use your broken circumstances for something amazing. You know, I wonder if out of some of our darkest moments, God's wanting to do one of his brightest works, but we don't see it because we get caught up in the moment. And then if you're in a dark moment and you're going through a pity party, like, throw away the balloons, get rid of the decorations, and look to see what God is trying to do in that situation. Because something beautiful can be formed out of that if you surrender that hurt and that brokenness to God. In closing our time here, and then we're going to go to communion, so don't escape during the prayer, please.
Yes.
We're going to take communion. But would you pray for people here, like similar to John, those that might be in just a dark spot? Maybe they're feeling rejected. Maybe they're feeling dejected. Encourage them by praying for them that God would help them to see the silver lining and what he wants to do.
Amen. I'm just going to ask that if, you know, you're going through a hard time right now, you're just feeling discouraged, and, you know, there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. We all go through that. But if you would stand, let's just stand. Let people just, you know, if somebody's standing around you and you feel led to just go and put a hand on their shoulder and say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you.
Even if you don't feel led,
yeah,
would you just do that?
Just do that.
This morning?
Yeah, just lay hands on somebody. Let them know that you're with them. You know, we're going through tough times right now, but we're all here for each other. That's the cool thing about Calvary. We really are here for each other. We're a family, and so we're going to pray together. Father, we just come before you, God, and we thank you that everything that we could share this morning, God, both John and I, God, everything, God, is only because of you, God. It's only because of who you are, God. It's nothing that we've done. It's not because we're special, God. It's not because we're your favorites, God. It's just because of who you are, God. God, you love us all the same, God. And so this morning, I know that as those that stood this morning that are discouraged, God, those that are going through something, Lord God, heavy, God, and a dark time in their life, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that they would feel, Lord God, and sense your Holy Spirit with them, the comforter, encouraging them, God, lifting them up, Father God, and Father, even giving direction, Father, this morning, Father God. Lord, your word says that if we acknowledge you, Lord God, and we acknowledge this morning, God, that we need you, God, in our lives, God. We acknowledge, Lord God, that we need your direction sometimes, God, all the time, every day, every minute, God. And so today, God, I pray for those, Father God, that are in this room, God, that feel that they need a direction in their lives, God. They need a decision made, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I declare right now, Father, that direction, God, that clarity will come to them, Father God. Lord God, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now, Lord God, that direction would come, God, as they take the first step in faith, Lord God, that you will make the path clear, God. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, Father God, I pray for those that have come in, God, with weights, Lord God, so heavy, God, that they feel they can't take another step. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning that they would be able to lay it at the foot of Calvary, Father God. Your word says to lay aside the weight of those things that so easily beset us, God. Those things that so easily can weigh us down, Father. In the name of Jesus this morning, I pray that every weight, every burden is laid at your feet this morning, Father God. Father, and even now, as my brothers and sisters are standing and they feel that hand on their shoulder, Lord God, that they would understand, Lord God, that your word says, Lord God, that we bear one another's burdens, God, and we fulfill your law, God. And so this morning, God, I pray that those of us that are standing in agreement, God, would realize that we are bearing their burden, God. That we would continue to pray, that we would continue to lift each other up, Father God. And God, I thank you this morning, God, for those that are feeling, Lord God, abandoned, dejected, God. For those that are feeling rejected, Father God. I pray that you would take their circumstance like you did for me, God. Turn it around for their good, God. And Father, help us to understand, God, that we should be joyful when we're Lord God, rejected because we love you, God. It's a privilege, Lord God, when others don't want us around because we love you, God. Help us, Lord God, to take joy in the fact that you are with us. And that's all we need, God. We only need you this morning, God. We're so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful for what you are and what you do for us, God. We cannot live without you, God. So this morning, God, I pray for maybe someone is here, God, and they're saying, what is this all about? I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. Well, Father God, I pray that this morning they would find you, God. That they would recognize, Lord God, that there's no other way to heaven but through you, Father. And so this morning, God, I pray, Lord God, that that person that's sitting here, God, would surrender their life, would ask you for forgiveness, God, for the things that they've done that have offended you, as we all have, God. We're all sinners. Your word says that we're all sinners, God. We all need you, God. So this morning, Father, I pray salvation in this room, God, for anyone that has not found you, God. And I pray your Holy Spirit, God, to continue to encourage the way that only you can, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.